He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Dr. Brown, I tell you, when I take some time off and I don't get you in my weekly roundup, I'm off. I'm just thrown off. How are you? I'm so glad to be chatting with you.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
So you don't feel the same way when you don't have me every week? You don't feel
I
the same do. Way? You're fine.
I don't know what to do. I'm like, if you're off, I'm like sitting by the phone, I'm like, 8:35, I got to call.
I just love you. You're the best. I missed you, though. And you know, it's funny. So, you know, you and I had gotten into this really great conversation the last time you were on. And then I'm like, oh, okay, great. We're going to really dive into polio next week. And then I'm like, oh, dang, hold on. I actually am not here. So we're going to make up that conversation today, because I know a lot of people were asking questions about polio, really trying to understand it a little bit better. Because I think, first of all, there's some confusion. You know, you're hearing about polio cases popping up right next door in New York. It's making a lot of people nervous, but correct maybe a misconception that's out there. We never eradicated polio, correct?
That's correct. We eradicated smallpox, but we have not eradicated polio. Polio has always been present. It's sort of a little bit of a nuance. We've actually eradicated it from the U.S., from U.S. nationally.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I'll clarify that.
Help me.
Yeah, so we actually don't. A lot of polio outbreaks or polio cases are actually from outside the U.S.
I see. Okay, now I'm caught up with you. I understand now. Okay, okay, continue. So it was, but as far as us producing it, if you will, here in the U.S.,
right.
We
don't produce it. We don't manufacture polio here.
We don't. Okay, that's
definitely
good to know. Good to know.
Absolutely not.
So then, you know, the very common question that I've been getting from a lot of our listeners is, what the heck happened? And how did we go quiet for about 10 years or so before we had this massive outbreak?
Right. And this actually has to do with, you know, the initial presentation. So because it still is national, you know, I mean, worldwide, the issue is that if there's a case and it makes it into the U.S., and then because we hope to be as vigilant as possible with the polio vaccine, but unfortunately, we're not always. So between the two, you know, it is a childhood vaccine. So if it's not given in childhood, then that puts a child at risk later on in life. And there is a potential issue for waning. So if you had the vaccine, and then, you know, there has been a booster, or your immune system is low, then there's a possibility of getting infected with polio.
You know, Dr. Brown, I don't think we've defined this just yet, but what is polio? Especially for our audiences who grew up where you just got the vaccine, you lined up, you got it, and that was the end of it. You didn't really talk about it unless you unfortunately contracted it.
It is a virus. Polio is short for poliomyelitis. It's actually caused by the polio virus. That is what it is. So even if you had the scientific name, it's a very infectious virus. So if you come in contact with it and you're unvaccinated, the likelihood that you're going to have an exposure or could potentially get infected from it is very high. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, as good news can be, the good news is that only 1 out of 4 people even develop symptoms from it. So 25% will actually develop any symptoms at all. And then of those 25%, only a small percentage, a very small percentage, can develop the neurologic, so meningitis or paralysis. Those are very rare. But because it's so infectious and nobody was vaccinated in the past, what had happened was that there were so many people that got infected that you would see the presentation of meningitis and paralysis and then long-term sequelae related to that.
Interesting. So if you get polio, is it curable?
It is not.
Ooh. That's scary then. So then let's go back
for a second. There is no treatment for polio. So if you contract polio, there is no treatment right now for it.
So that's scary then. So when you say only 1 in 4 people will even have symptoms, are there people who may, like, that could have polio and have no idea they have polio?
It is possible.
That's crazy. That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's typically, it would be a very low percentage that would have it that actually have no symptoms. So really it would have to be someone who really has symptoms that would be shedding enough virus to spread it. So I would be less concerned about sort of that asymptomatic spreader. However, it is, as I said, it is very infectious. And it has to do with, you know, close contact with a person. And then it actually does hang out in the gastrointestinal tract. So it hangs out in your GI tract. That means so any contaminations can lead to, you know, so we call that fecal oral. So accidentally not washing your hands and eating something or touching your face, nose, mouth could actually lead to the infection.
Okay. Well, that just goes back to all of if we didn't learn this before COVID, you certainly learned it during. Please wash your hands always.
Exactly.
Good Lord. Right. So, Dr. Yeah. Brown, I'm glad that we're really diving into polio because I have to be honest, and I think I've told you and my audience this before, I have a relative. I'm not particularly close to him only because he lives so far away, but it's my mom's cousin who had polio as a kid. Now, what's interesting is he had polio, and I don't really know the story too well, so Mom, forgive me if I'm telling it wrong, but my Uncle Bobby had polio, and then I guess, you know, went a solid like 50 or so years. I mean, when he was a kid, it was bad, but you know, he's now in his 70s, and all of a sudden, a lot of his, you know, a lot of the polio symptoms have come back. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? Like, how do you have it, yeah. but then you survive a very long time, or you don't really have any issues with it, but then it comes back with full vengeance? How could that happen?
This is actually called the post-polio syndrome.
Post-polio. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you actually have to have polio. So that means you would actually have the infection polio, not just sort of exposure. And you would actually have to be sick from it. And you may have had a minor illness from it. You know, the fevers, chills, flu-like illness, mm-hmm. essentially. And then 15 to 40 years later, you can actually start developing muscle pain, weakness, and even paralysis as an adult.
That's what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. I had never heard of something so awful. Like, could you imagine? I mean, I don't know. I guess it's kind of like if you're in remission. You know, like if you had cancer, you're in remission and you could go a long time and then it comes back. It reminds me of that. That's what it sounds like.
And there's no indication that those, you know, that he's infectious with polio. What it is that it had to do with the damage to the nervous system. Because this virus is very specific to the nervous system. That's why the paralysis. So it has a tendency to hit those nerves. And then those weakened nerves, again, nobody's exactly sure post-polio syndrome why it occurs.
Wow.
But it does.
That's terrible. Good morning. We're talking to Dr. Brown this morning and taking your polio questions. And I had a couple that actually came in through that commercial break, Dr. Brown.
Yes.
I did want to go back actually at some point to talk about the U.S. eradicating polio, mm-hmm. because I know you kind of you told me in the beginning of this, and I know I got confused for a second, but then I was kind of thinking about this. So it's obviously they haven't come right out and said it. Obviously, they're talking about people needing to get vaccinated. That's the answer. We understand that. But and if this is above your pay grade, that's fine. Just say it's above my pay grade, Melissa. I'm not answering that. But is the issue, so if the U.S. eradicated this, like, mm-hmm. then could this have really been an issue of people who were not getting vaccinated in New York, or is this an issue of people coming here into our country?
That's a good question. Great clarification question. So the first one is when we talk about eradication, there is no source of poliovirus in the United States.
Okay.
So there's no one who's actually walking around with polio. Well, yeah.
Well,
so
now
no
there is. But yes,
polio.
But that's what I guess that was what was confusing because it was made out in the headlines that it's like, oh, people in New York are not getting vaccinated. But I'm like, okay, so you would talk,
right.
you're talking about New York adults who were just not getting vaccinated and then all of a sudden they got polio?
Let's think of viruses like matches, right?
Yeah.
So there's no polio matches in the U.S.
Okay.
The match has to come from somewhere else.
Okay.
So if the match came from another country and that match all of a sudden came and got lit, then it would actually light any potential timber or other matches that are available. So if you think about a match being polio, and then anyone who has not got the polio vaccine are now at risk of getting it. And that's how you end up having this uptick, outbreak, cluster, whatever you want to call it. So the recommendation by the council that recommends immunizations, so it's called APIC. Their recommendation is to actually get polio vaccine. There's four doses that you get in childhood. If an individual got all four doses, the likelihood they get polio is pretty much zero.
Okay, got it. And again, I know you just touched on this before, but I know we got another question about it. How exactly you can contract polio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so contracting polio is called fecal oral. So there's two essential ways that you get it. One is that because it actually lives in the GI tract in people who are sick, it means it can they don't wash their hands, they touch you, et cetera. So it's any way that any fecal matter can be, even the smallest amount of fecal matter can be transmitted from one person to another. So that's really about hand washing. The other one is very close contact with someone who is actually sick from the virus itself.
Okay.
Those are the two ways that you can spread it.
Okay. And another question.
You'd be surprised about the fecal oral rate. I'm trying to be nice about it because it's kind of gross.
Nice language. But essentially, yes. It's if you go to the bathroom, you don't wash your hands, and that's really gross. And then you touch things like food or your face and things like that.
That's exactly. And then someone else does, and then that's how you spread polio.
Lovely. Okay. But I mean, just to clarify, though, so we're not talking airborne. We're not even. I mean, so could it be sexually transmitted?
Very unusual. I mean, it's more, I think more
hygiene. This sounds like a hygiene thing.
I think more, you got to think more hygiene with it.
Okay.
I mean, there's always risks. It's a little, because it's an older virus, it's, you know, you just need to be really careful about it. And the official recommendations are to be, you know, obviously to use certain types of precautions, but really hand hygiene is going to be your best.
Mm, okay. And then this was a good question, just kind of a generic one, but a good one to just go over. If you were vaccinated as a child against polio, do you need a booster as an adult?
So also a good question. So the answer is right now there isn't a recommendation to get a booster unless you travel. So an area in which you are potentially going to get an exposure. Now, if there's a continued uptick of polio in the U.S., there may be a recommendation to boost.
But as of right now, there is no booster in the U.S. However, if you were to go to, like, I don't know, are there certain countries that we know still have polio issues? Like, do we know countries that have polio cases that are a problem?
Yeah, a lot of developing countries still have cases of polio.
Okay, so if you were to go to another country, your doctor says, hey, polio is an issue here, you may have to get a booster to go there.
Correct. If there's a real concern, a lot of times it is sporadic, just like these cases in New York. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it that often. So typically, if you're going to travel to a developing country, there you'd see a travel specialist, or you go to the CDC website, say, okay, where am I going? And then there'll be recommendations on which vaccines to get.
Okay. And I know we're certainly not planning for any kind of a massive uptick in polio, but only because we saw this issue with monkeypox. Do you think the U.S. is equipped to have boosters ready if we needed it for polio?
We actually should have a pretty ample supply.
Okay.
Right now. I mean, it is a common childhood vaccine. The booster would be the exact same thing.
Okay. Well, Dr. Brown,
I have the huge amount. I don't know, but we know how that worked.
Well, I mean, with monkeypox, we did a horrible job. We didn't do that great of a job. That's why I was wondering if.
Yeah, monkeypox. Sorry, I know we're over a little bit. Monkeypox is actually a very unique virus, and the reason why we didn't have the vaccine available was because there wasn't hardly ever used.
This one we use
probably almost every day. Someone's getting vaccinated with the polio virus, polio vaccine.
That's true. The babies, all the kiddos.
The babies.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. That's fair. That's it. Well, this is why I ask you the questions. I tell you, Dr. Brown, this was super helpful. And a lot of our listeners had great questions. So I thank you so much for doing a deep dive into polio. And who knows what we'll talk about next week, but I look forward to it.
Very good. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Dr. Brown here of Griffin Health on WICC.